Number eight, overdo the gestures. Hold her hands when you have the opportunity, but almost clasp it by slightly
When does that happen? When do you have the opportunity to hold somebody's hand?
But slightly interlace your fingers with hers.
No.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I want to kick off with rats, a story about rats in New York City. Greg actually sent this one in. And the title of it is, Scientists Find That Rats Have 18 Viruses Previously Unknown to Science.
Get out. Rats?
New York City rats, specifically.
Okay.
So the kind of rat that we have in New York City is called the, it's Rattus norvegicus. It's the Norwegian rat.
What's it doing here?
Well, blame colonialism.
Well, you know what? It needs to go back to whence it came.
That's the big brown rats that you see in the subway. That's the Norwegian rat.
Norwegian variety.
The Norwegian variety. So, meanwhile, when I was in Norway, I didn't see anything. Not a single vermin. They're all here. I guess if you'd rather live in Manhattan, so be it, right? So, a team of scientists, and I love that. I just am thinking a bunch of guys dressed alike swarming the place. A team of scientists at Columbia University trapped 133 rats. It's probably hard to stop at that.
Mm-hmm.
From five sites in Midtown and Lower Manhattan, and they used DNA sequencing to catalog the pathogens they carry. I can't even imagine. Disgusting.
This must have been punishment.
Yeah. These are like the level C scientists.
It's like, you know what?
Most people like order their rats. These guys have to go out and catch them.
Right. They're probably the ones lighting their farts on the Bunsen burner.
Yes.
It's like, are you kidding me? We're at Columbia.
Yes.
Get out there in the subway and go get those rats.
So they found an alarming number of disease-causing bacteria, viruses, and single-celled organisms called protozoa. I remember that from, like, fifth grade.
Yeah.
At least one of the protozoa.
The author of the article is like, protozoa.
At least one of the protozoa and eight of the bacterial species have been linked to gastrointestinal diseases in humans. So don't eat rats, basically. Even more disconcertingly, they discovered nearly 30 viral species. 20 of them were mammalian. And 18 are brand friggin' new.
From aliens. Probably.
From this chud. From the subways.
From the cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
How bizarre is that? So, I mean, of course, they found, like, E. coli and all these other stuff, but they've got some brand new diseases that the
unknown
rats have.
Unknown to man.
Yeah.
That are just kind of festering and developing down there on the tracks.
I mean, the thing with the rat situation in New York is, yes, we do have a lot of rats, but you rarely in New York, unless you're living in very poor conditions, come into any kind of close contact with them.
Right. Yeah, they do run away from you, no matter how bold they are.
Yeah. They do try to get away. And the subway is just kind of like where they, you know, where they kick it.
Yeah.
Where they do their thing. So we got some really unhealthy rats in the city.
That is terrible.
I'm just imagining a bunch of guys in white coats, like, chasing rats through the subway. I'm sure it's more sophisticated than that. Why isn't a robot doing that?
If you trap a rat in a cage, it's not happy.
No.
It will try to get out.
They will try to attack.
They jump up on the bars, they bare their teeth, and they claw it, and they squeal.
These aren't lab rats that are bred to be a little more low-key. These are wild animals who are really just trying to be with the A-train.
Yeah, but they're nasty. And the thing is, the expression, oh, rats, people say that like, oh, rats.
No.
No, when you say, oh, rats, I want you to think about it, listeners.
Yeah.
And it's terrible.
If you've never seen a river of rats, and I have, I've seen by the subway, this was years ago in Harlem underneath the Metro North, where the Metro North and the subway is, there's a huge, bridge kind of there, and there's just nothing underneath. And I was walking home one night, and it was literally, like, I couldn't see what it was, but it was moving, and it was like a sea of rats.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was horrible.
That's
disgusting.
Horrible.
You know? So, yeah, we got 18 new viruses. I wonder what they're going to do with those.
Man.
Very interesting. Rats.
Mm-hmm.
Rats. It just seems like a 50s thing to say, like, oh,
it is.
Rats.
It is. Seems so clean cut.
Yeah.
And so innocent, but it's not.
No, it has 18 new viruses are attached to that.
Mm.
All right, what do you have?
I have a listener tweet.
Oh, great. Yeah, we're on Twitter at Hey You Know It.
Right. And so Rhonda M. tweets, Hey You Know It. this proves that robots will destroy us all soon. And she sent a link.
We don't need proof. We know it's true, girl.
There's these images of things that robots can do. Mm-hmm. And one is they can fight with katanas.
Why would you need to fight with a katana? That doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah.
They have lasers.
Okay.
They learn to climb trees. Yep, they're climbing trees like hand over hand.
Why?
They're taking our jobs, and there's a robot that holds a sign out on the street corner. They can have that job.
Oh, you see how the lollipop man? Yeah, you can have that job.
They play air hockey, ping pong, and darts, and rock, paper, scissors, and I think we covered that
one. Ping pong as well, the praying mantis robot.
They can mimic birds. They fly, so I'm not talking about a drone. They have a flapping wing bird flying robot.
How are birds going to feel about this?
Yeah.
If I were a bird, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
And you get back to the nest.
And then there's dancing spiders. So it's the big ones that look like giant spiders, and they can move around and dance. They can fight. That's what I like. A fighting robot.
Do you mean like a slapping kind of fighting or fisticuffs?
Fisticuffs.
Okay.
One can put ketchup on a hot dog.
Great. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, I need that.
Phew.
In my house. Because, you know, I need a robot to open a jar, and I need a robot to put ketchup on a hot dog. I can't. Still get it through my mind that they can multitask.
Barely going to be room in your apartment with all these robots.
And they can ride bikes.
Okay. And once again, why?
Well, they could deliver food.
Walk it to me. Yeah. Have wheels on your feet. You're a robot.
Right. Yeah, how dare you?
Yes. They could be using City Bike. I don't think so.
And do you know the Ralph Macchio Karate Kid movie where he's on the ocean and he's learning his moves and he's balancing on a stump with one foot?
Can they do that as well?
They can do that. The crane pose. It could do it.
So we don't need Ralph Macchio anymore.
No. Get out of here.
So I have something
Thank you, first of all.
Yeah, Rhonda. Who was that? Oh, Rhonda. Good old Rhonda.
Thank you.
Here's another thing that they can do. DARPA just funded an $11 million tool called the Pliny, named after Pliny the Elder.
No way! How could our segments are coming together to form a power segment.
Yes.
Robots and Pliny.
Singularity.
Yeah.
So DARPA is funding a new project at Rice University called Pliny. It's not a robot or a killing weapon, but it's a computer program that will help people who are coding. It will fill in, kind of like autocorrect.
Oh, okay.
Or it'll suggest code. So basically, you start writing some code, and then you're not really sure where you want to go or whatever. You continue on, and it can fill in for you as you go along. So I'm reading the article. It sounds like a really great idea, except that in the comments, someone made the point that, well, what if it just puts some random stuff in there? So, like, say you're building a program that will help people transfer money from place to place, and it's in there. Like, but also in there is, like, you know, something evil that the computer's just randomly thrown in there. Because, you know, when you're doing autocorrect,
it'll give you a word. Like,
some of the things that come up, I'm like, I never said that.
Right. And also with autocorrect, people like to play tricks on each other, and they get into each other's phones, and they change the definition, the autocorrects.
Oh, really? I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, you get in there, so every time
someone says... Have you done
this?
Is that what
No, I can't do it.
You've heard of it.
Me? What? No, so if you want to say, what is it? The word, whatever. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You can say pecan pie.
Wow.
You know, instead. So that's just like...
So it'll come up when you're typing?
Instead of it's like, oh, you know what, I sent you the thing, instead whatever, to your house. I mailed something to you. Instead of you saying thank you, it'll come up, pecan pie. Like, what are you talking about?
Just let that one go.
And it's like, pecan pie. I don't know why I'm saying this. Pecan pie.
I was interested to find out that my autocorrect knows what faux shizzle should be.
Yeah.
And gives that to you if you misspell the shizzle.
Oh, no. That's hilarious.
So, yeah, it's a little piece of DARPA news, a little robot news, or a little Pliny. It's called Pliny because apparently this program has an encyclopedic knowledge.
And just writes like a mofo.
So a little shout out to Pliny there.
So it's going to autocorrect some code in there.
It's going to autocorrect code, or it'll fill in any holes in your code automatically.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't do any coding, but it's kind of interesting. Yeah. You know, it fills the gaps in coding. Pretty soon, I guess it'll be just coding on its own. Yeah. Like, you'll be able to say, like, make a program for, I don't know, bank transfers and world domination.
Yeah. And it'll do it.
And it'll do it for you.
Scary.
I'm quite happy for pulling two segments together. All right. What do you have?
It was really great.
Yeah. Plenty, huh?
Yeah.
Respect them.
Respect her.
Respect your elder.
Yeah. Plenty the elder.
That is.
Advice on advice.
Oh. Now I'm choking. Jesus. Advice on Advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that is unqualified.
And it stinks.
It's terrible. So we like to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. Hence, hashtag advice on advice.
Right.
So what do you have?
I have here. This is cult. I'm not being abused.
Okay.
Right.
Let's just get that clear up front.
My new husband and I enjoy very rough sex.
Okay.
Unfortunately, in spite of efforts to keep quiet, my 12-year-old daughter overheard us. I got called in for a private meeting with her teacher outside of school hours.
First of all, children hear everything. Do people forget when you're a kid? There's nothing else to do but to look and listen for things that you're not supposed to see and hear.
Right. She told me my daughter heard her stepfather slapping me and was extremely upset.
Mm-hmm.
I was completely taken aback, not to mention embarrassed beyond belief, and couldn't think of anything other than mutter, I was fine and everything was fine at home.
That sounds like nothing is fine and nothing is good
Absolutely.
At home. Absolutely. Right?
Sounds like sent a...
was she hiding, like, one of her eyes at the same time, kind of like shielding it?
I need the address of a shelter. That's what that means, right? Of course, this only made the teachers believe I was trying to cover up the abuse and told me repeatedly she was there to help when I was ready.
What a nightmare.
I know, I just can't let my daughter continue believing her mother is being abused, and I really don't want this teacher, this kind teacher, to be concerned over a complete misunderstanding.
But I gotta give it up for that kid.
Yeah.
That's a pretty ballsy move.
However, I don't know how to begin. Please help.
Well, the kid, like, first of all, the kid has done the right thing.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Kid suspects abuse, probably saw something on TV that was like, if there's something going on, tell someone. And she told her teacher.
She told her teacher to, yeah,
and
to
now her teacher's
to
like,
and
great.
And it's like, great, now I have to.
Now I have to deal with this. Yeah.
But wow, what a great kid.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Looking out for her mom.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that the dad doesn't come home one day and the daughter's sitting there with like a baseball bat like, so.
Yeah. Yeah, or takes it. Imagine if the daughter had a worse judgment and she got a friend to come over.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to beat this guy. He's my stepfather. He's horrible.
He's awful.
Somebody's got to come by and kill him.
The stepfather's going to be like, why are all the lights on? Oh!
Right. His Achilles is severed.
Yeah. You like to beat all women, huh?
Right. How do you like me now?
Okay. So what's the response?
Okay. I got to admire your daughter's self-possession and crisis management skills.
Nice.
Like we did.
Yeah.
Beat
her to it.
That was a very difficult decision for her to make. She must have considered going to you, but then concluded that if you were being abused, you likely would cover for your husband.
Yeah.
She has no faith in you.
Yes. That's awful.
You're a horrible, weak woman.
Yeah, she must think that of her mother. Like, she's like, you know what, let me just take it to the head.
Yeah.
I'm going straight to Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Second grade teacher.
She can't stand up for herself.
Yeah. She's got no backbone.
What's
Mrs.
love
Smith,
got to do,
do
with
something.
It. Yeah.
Do something.
So instead of squirming every night about what was going on in your bedroom, she went to a smart place for help.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, these parents can't do shit now.
Now, it's time for an honest, if succinct, conversation with your daughter. If succinct.
How are you going to explain this? How old is a daughter again?
12. Yeah.
That might be too young for her to understand.
The whole
Well,
concept.
She might understand the sexuality, you know, just some basic
but
sexuality.
But she's not going to get that this...
S&M is like pretty, you know, that's like some next level.
Yeah. You should praise her for concern for yourself and for making a tough choice. Tell her that you were surprised and embarrassed at the meeting, which is not her fault. I wouldn't even...
Okay.
You embarrassed me. It's not your fault. No, this is the wrong way to start.
She's going to be like, bitch, I was trying to help your ass.
Yeah.
Getting thrown around every night.
You should praise her for her concern for you and for making a tough choice. Tell her that you were surprised and embarrassed at the meeting, which is not her fault.
Okay.
So you weren't as articulate as you wished you had been. Say that you understand what she heard worried her, and it's your responsibility for not being more discreet. But explain to her that everything is going on is totally consensual, and you
is
love
she going to understand
you
know, that,
and that you love her stepfather, and you're not being hurt in any way. She's not going to understand this.
No, first of all, stepfather,
right.
You know?
It's even worse now.
So this is she's watched her mom. I don't know what the relationship was like with her, you know, her birth father, but maybe it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh man, again,
right?
Not that there was physical abuse, but she obviously saw her parents grow apart for some reason. There was some kind of animosity, whether it was physical, mental, whatever. And so now here comes this new guy, and all of a sudden it's, you know, fisticuffs. It's kung fu fighting.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way you can explain this to her. I think she's too young to understand, you know, that kind of...
relationship, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of sexual relationship.
You can call her teacher and say that because you were taken aback at the meeting, you were not as articulate as you would have liked, but
is not going to go for that. I'm sorry. I've been a teacher, and if some woman came to me and was like, oh, no, everything's fine, and then the next time she's like, oh, it was rough sex, yeah. I'm like, I don't know, I got a ACS.
Yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to do? Because that sounds like someone who's trying to recant.
Yeah, and that now you're, and tell the teacher, now your daughter understands this.
Yeah.
Then go and get some soundproofing or sound machine for when you and your husband have noisy nocturnal pleasures.
Or just take it to a love hotel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that part of the advice. I think the end of the advice should be like, do whatever it is you have to do to make sure that your child never has to hear that again. Mm-hmm. Because if this girl hears that again, she's going to go back to her teacher again. Yeah.
It's a whole problem.
She's going to think that her mother was trying to smooth it over. Mm-hmm. While her mom is talking to her, she's probably like, oh, this is a sad case of a battered woman.
Yeah.
I have got to do something. I've seen Lifetime. I have got to do something. It's going to be the burning bed up in this piece. 2014.
Right.
The burning enough. Sleeping with the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, what's love got to do with it? Like, the kids today are a little different.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah. How do you do this? How do you, you know...
I don't know. I'm stumped.
Are we officially stumped?
I think we're officially stumped on this one. I don't think there's any way to get out of this one. I really think this girl, it's going to take until this girl is like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
You know when you see something when you're too young? Mm-hmm. Like one time we found in a relative's basement, where we weren't supposed to be, some Chicks with Dicks magazines.
Yeah.
And we were like, we didn't realize what it was. It wasn't until later that I was like, oh, that's what that was, you know? It was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
This person was into this particular thing. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But when we were kids, we just didn't even, we didn't even understand. Yeah. We weren't ready for it.
She's just going to have to suffer with this, and they better not let it happen again.
Yes.
Soundproof your room.
Yes, I think that it's traumatizing for children to hear sex coming out of their parents' bedrooms.
Right.
And now it's confusing that it's not just sex, but it's this kind of like what sounds like violence.
Yeah.
Keep it down, people. Just keep it down. Yeah. What were they thinking? I bet her room is like right next door, too. That's crazy town. All right. Yeah, we're stumped on that one. Interesting. What do I want to do? Oh, so here's a little interesting something. Just short. New York City worker suspended for doing the robot.
What?
Now, I thought it was kind of like the dance move.
Right. No. That's what I thought, too.
Apparently, a New York City Health Department worker on the computer help desk has been hit with a 20-day suspension after answering calls in a fake robot voice.
I love it.
I like his style. He said the suspension decision was issued by the Office of Administrative Trials and Hearings states that Ronald Dillon spoke to a customer in a slow, monotone, and over-enunciated manner and said, "You have reached the help desk. This is Mr. Dillon. How may I help you?" He adopted the robot voice, or he did the robot voice, at least 5 times, even after his boss told him to stop. So was his boss coming by and he was still like, "Good morning, how may I help you?" And he was like, "That's one." And one caller complained about the robot and said, "I want to speak to a human." Oh. So it worked.
He's very good. Maybe he was just doing character work and he was trying to get down the whole...
Here's what he says in his defense. He told the judge, "Look, I'm not a people person. All right, I was just trying to please the boss." They objected to his original tone of voice, so he said, "I would try to make it atonal."
What was his original tone of voice?
It's
probably sarcastic. Yes. But like, how may I help you?
So they didn't like it, so he was like, "I'll just keep it flat and atonal."
Right.
This is someone who doesn't know nuance. This is like, he sounded like an asshole, and now he sounds like not a human at all. Like, he couldn't strike something in between. Do Christopher Walken.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Do an accent.
Oh, he says passive aggressive.
And he's working for the Department of Health.
Oh, no.
On a
no.
phone line. No. Maybe don't do that. I'm not a people person.
Then don't.
But this is the only job I could get. How'd he get the job? I have no idea. I just think it's funny that, so he got suspended for 20 days for doing a robot. It is so hard to get any government worker suspended. I'm amazed that this happened. He must have done the robot like back in like 2010, and they've just been getting the case together until now because things move so slowly. Bizarre. So that's I guess don't do the robot.
Don't do the robot. In body or voice.
Yeah. When I've done some online chat with like customer service people, and I'm always like, straight up, are you a robot? Because you never know.
Sometimes people record their voicemail messages that sounds like, hello, and then you start
people still talking, do that?
And then you're like, I'm not here right now.
Oh my God.
So it's the opposite. A recorded message tricking you into believing that they're real.
It's only funny if you can hear the person start talking, so it's a joke that's kind of lost on me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear somebody being like, that son of a... okay. Yeah. Jaquette, are you there?
Right.
All right, what do you have?
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
So, apparently you have an announcement.
I do have an announcement. Okay. In an earlier episode, we had Al Criscoli from Sugar Blast Music Company in our studio talking about the band on his label.
Yeah, Stuyvesant.
Stuyvesant. Yes.
Who released Stuyvesant Schmivesant.
Right.
On Sugar Blast.
Just a reminder, people, it's out there. Go grab it.
Yeah. That's it. That was the announcement. Okay. It was a quick announcement.
I gotta stop.
Good Lord.
Keep it short. Oh my God.
Just move this. All right. So, this is Greg sent this in as well.
Mm-hmm. Greg is your husband.
Yeah, Greg's my husband. He sent this like a while ago, but it says, workers battle a quote-unquote fatberg the size of a Boeing 747 under London. So apparently, it's a mixture of wet wipes and then cooking oil and fats that people pour down the drain.
Okay.
They coalesced, and they have filled up an entire drain pipe in London, and it's causing, like, the water to not be able to flow from place to place. And the size of this fatberg, they're calling it.
The fatberg.
It's the size of a Boeing 747.
No.
It's massive. It's just wet wipes, fat, and then a bunch of whatever else gets stuck
congeals
together.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's ruining the sewers, apparently. It said that a team of sewer experts from the sewer company fought the fatberg last week. And lost.
They fought and they lost.
It's an immense.
It was a brave fight.
An immense.
We'll always remember them.
It's a solid blockage.
Every November 12th.
Yes, but we'll think about them.
Yeah.
It's a solid blockage, and it has to be broken through or removed to prevent the sewer from flooding. It's cooking oil, as I said, that's poured down the drains while it's still hot and runny.
You can't
do that.
No.
Doesn't everybody know that you can't do that?
You just let it cool off and then you put it in the garbage.
See, I guess this is the difference between people who grow up in houses where you have a septic tank or where you have like a more closed system if you're in a development and people who are in cities who just throw everything down the drain. Because when you're in a city and you put something down the drain, the chances of you thinking about where that's going or having it affect you is very low.
Right, because someone else deals with it.
And it goes far away.
Yeah.
Or it turns into a fatberg. So yeah, wet wipes.
Wet wipes.
Those are the worst. I've never really been a huge fan of those. I'm not an eco warrior.
Who puts them down the sink? You throw them in the garbage.
No. You put them down the sink, apparently.
No.
I guess.
Where is this again?
This is in London.
Well, I don't know what they're doing over there with their wet wipes.
It says that it filled the tunnel all the way up to the roof, and a person couldn't even get through it. So they have to go in there and dig out, you know, this fat that's the size of a Boeing 747, which is massive.
I would take a torch to it, melt it all.
I'd just light it on fire, stand back. let it go. It's disgusting.
It's nasty.
You got to be careful what you put down the drains, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't know. Fat bird. So thank you, Greg, for that.
Yes, thanks, Greg.
All right, what do you have?
Okay, I have from my favorite site, Love Pancake.
Oh,
Love Pancake. 10 ways to build sexual tension the flirty way.
Okay.
Right.
Is there another way to do it?
Just
full on. Boom! Oh my God, all of a sudden.
There's the creepy way.
Yes. All right, what are the ten
sexual
ways?
Tension can be exciting and sexy and oh so much fun as long as you know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Find out how to build sexual tension with someone you like using these tips.
So keep in mind that there are a lot of people out there who want to build this tension.
Yeah.
And don't know how to, and are Googling it.
Yeah. So yeah, sexual tension is a sexy thing, first off.
Yeah. And it's a tense thing.
Yeah. Sexual tension is that fuzzy sexual feeling that two people who are interested in each other feel when they're in close proximity of each other.
Okay.
It can go away after a while, or it can stay forever. Who knows?
It should dissipate over time, yeah. But okay.
Have you enjoyed a flirty game with someone at work without really talking about it? That's sexual tension.
Aha! That's it.
You may not like this person romantically, but you still enjoy the racy tension that's building up between the both of you.
Okay.
All right.
I think there's been jobs that I had when I was younger where the person thought it was sexual tension. I was like, no, I just hate you.
Yeah.
That heat that you feel is anger. And distrust.
And annoyance.
Yes, annoyance.
Okay.
I'm not being coy. You really suck.
Sexual tension is best experienced when two people just enjoy the tension without asking each other out or taking it out in the open.
Okay.
Okay. After all, if you do ask your flirty sexual tension friend out, you're killing the sexual tension.
Yeah, and you want to keep that.
Yeah. Right?
You don't want to move past that to be comfortable.
Right.
You want to break out into just a profuse sweat.
Right.
Every time you see this person.
So if you want to enjoy the sexual tension, don't ever say it out. Just, well, unless you want to take it to the next level, just like you said.
So you still yell, why is this tense up in this piece? I mean, sexually. Don't do that, because then it's over.
All right, but how do you build it? If you only have a little tiny bit of tension, it's kind of slack.
Yeah, how do you ratchet it up? So we're at a 1, and we want to get to 11.
Yeah. First of all, if you want to build sexual tension with a sexy friend, you need to...
with a sexy friend?
You need to know her already.
Okay.
If you don't, find a way to get to know her better.
The tension might dissipate a little bit.
Yeah, because once you know a little more about somebody, it's like, what?
Yeah, we've all had that. It's like, you know, from afar.
It's great. And when they are even close, they're okay. But then when they start talking, forget it.
It's the same thing like those strobe light dudes. You're in the club, strobe lights on, everything's cool. Last call comes, they put the lights up. You're like,
run, girl.
Get out of there.
If you want to build sexual tension without ever telling your friend that you're interested in her, learn to build sexual tension using these 10 bold, yet subtle ways.
Okay, right.
Number 1, sneaky eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Make eye contact.
Furtive glances, I'm thinking.
Make eye contact often, but don't be obvious about it. Look at this friend you like, but just as she looks back at you, look away.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Right? And when you're trying to build sexual tension, it's all about being discreet.
Not if you look away. I would say hold for like a second and then look away.
But if you get caught looking, just smile at the girl and look away in a second.
Okay. Thank you. Vindicated. Still got it, people.
When you make someone wonder if you're actually looking at them, you're making them think of you and wonder if you've got more than friends on your mind.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The tension's ratcheting up a little bit. Not bad.
Number 2, talk naughty.
Ugh. Really?
I think this is like a number 8.
Talk naughty? It's a little early for that.
It's too early. Talk naughty, but don't get dirty. Whenever the opportunity arises, talk about something funny. It's sexy.
This is a problem because a lot of people don't... Everyone has a different line.
Yes.
For that?
This is the thing. Exactly.
You know? So you got to be careful. Like, is talking about... who was it? Krampus's barbed penis?
Yeah.
Too much?
Too much.
For some people.
Right. Krampus is a Christmas demon.
For a young me, if you had said something about Krampus' dick, I probably would have snorted.
Right.
I thought it was funny. But everybody's different.
Yeah.
Katie might be classier. Might be turned away by that.
Right.
It's too much for her.
It might. Yeah. It just might.
It might. Possibly.
Okay. If you can see a bit of her cleavage, look at it and then look away in an obvious manner.
Okay. If you're showing a bit of cleavage, just know everybody's looking at
it.
That's not going to help you.
Right.
Right?
It just expects it. So it's not going to be part of this.
Everybody looks at cleavage.
Right. So it's not part of... How can you build sexual attention?
No.
Because, you know.
No.
She may immediately cover it up, but she knew you
noticed
it. How
much cleavage is there?
There's a ton.
It's a foot.
It's a foot.
It's like a Renaissance fair. Like
you can talk naughty or just use gestures.
You know what gesture I'm thinking of. That's too much.
Yeah.
I don't know any gestures that's appropriate that's sexual in the office.
No.
Is it the smoke hog gesture? That's never good.
Mm.
That's never good.
Compliment with a hint of sex. Does she look particularly good today? Compliment
Sweet gams.
Sweet gams.
Yeah. Nice rack.
Compliment and talk about how good her curves look. Good looking curves today, Phyllis.
Yeah. Your curves are on point.
If you want to build the sexual tension, you need to let her know that you admire her sexuality without ever telling her directly that you find her sexy.
But if you say to somebody, nice rack, yeah. HR gets right. involved. Right. So you got to be careful.
You got to say nice curves.
Even so.
Way to go on those.
I would say if you compliment a woman, period. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you got to do it without saying anything out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to pay a little attention to mm-hmm. something, you know?
Get into her personal space. When two people like each other, there's...
Get all up in her mm-hmm. Brazil. Get in there. That's going to be real tense.
There's always sexual tension in the air. Stand really close to her, almost to the point of touching her. And when you get the opportunity...
This is like a stalker.
Yeah. Standing in a crowded elevator, talk together with a group of friends. Get really close to her.
Hey, guys. And you just like... Do you know what I've realized after... Because I used to have a lot of personal space issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of black people do, for some mm-hmm. reason. I've noticed that we seem to have more personal space than other groups of people. Mm-hmm. In the United States, at least. But I've been in New York for such a long time that my personal space has decreased. So the other day, I was standing next to someone, and they got really close to me. And I just looked over, like, word. In the past, I would have backed up immediately. Yeah. You know, it's that New York thing of, like, look.
Yeah.
You're too close. I'm not moving.
Right.
I'm not moving.
Right.
There was no sexual
tension. Standing my ground. Yeah.
I stood my ground.
Yeah.
And he moved away.
Yeah. Somebody,
He was Italian.
Oh, yeah.
From Italy. So maybe he just didn't know.
You know what somebody did? It was something we don't do in New York. You don't approach somebody from behind and put your hand on their shoulder.
What? Right. Somebody did that?
Yeah, but I...
You're looking for a self-defense move.
I was like... He's not from around here. And I turned around, and sure enough, I knew who it was, but I was like, you're not from this state.
Why would you come up behind somebody like that? You might get punched.
Yeah. I had mercy.
Okay.
And I did not punch.
He's not from here.
I was just like, he is not.
He smells from here. Like he's not local. He had an air of worldliness.
Lingering touches. Are you trying to point something out on her phone?
Awkward. Oh, you're touching the phone for longer than you need to?
No, you're... Okay. So, let
your
arm...
mobile device.
So, if you're looking over her shoulder at her phone, trying to point something out on her own phone, like mm-hmm. she doesn't know what's on
What
there.
If you're playing tennis?
Let your arm graze against hers for a few seconds while you're at it. Are you crossing the street with her? Place your hand on her back. No. Look for opportunities to exchange lingering touches with her. It's the easiest way to make her feel the tingle of sexual tension without making it obvious. And she'll definitely enjoy it, too.
I guess so. It can be creepy, though. You gotta have good timing for these things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I was once in a meeting, and I had my arms on the table, and someone reached across the table and touched my arm for emphasis. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Are you out of your...
I'm like, don't touch me while in a meeting.
Yeah, it's weird.
It didn't mean anything, but it
once
was...
Once again, it's in New York. People don't really touch each other right. that much.
You can't.
We're around so many people all the time. Although, I mean, there's a situation then when, like, you're on the subway and it's super crowded. We still, no matter how crowded it is, there's still, like, a layer between everybody.
Yeah, a layer of air.
And it works.
Yeah, and if you are touching, like, your whole body against somebody else, it's kind of like... You hold yourself rigidly.
And you look in a different direction.
And yeah, and you're just like, I know we're touching, but yeah. we don't
We're just going like to pretend it. Like it's not happening. Yeah. And thank you for keeping up with that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't acknowledge it. Keep it anonymous.
Yeah, you don't kind of, like, relax and lean into it.
No.
Like,
You just stay as rigid as you can, and wherever they're looking, you don't look there.
Yeah.
You look somewhere
it's
else.
It's like we're both in this together, but
yeah.
as soon as we
as soon
have
as it's over,
an opportunity,
you know
it's going to be
We
over.
Shall never pass this way again.
Right.
There's rules.
Number six, show yourself off.
Show yourself.
No. Look for ways to show off your sexy assets, be it your charm or your physique.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show off my charm.
Those gams.
Now, this will work only if she's already sexually attracted to you, so make sure you've warmed her up first.
Wait, is this the guy showing off something?
Yeah, now he's got, yeah.
What's he going to show off?
Well, he's...
Tight pants, gentlemen. Tight pants.
Tight pants.
Don't let there be mystery.
Right, V-neck. Yes. Gentlemen.
A V-neck and really tight pants. Let her know what's going on.
Let her take a sneak peek of you in the bare minimum, or perhaps...
At the office?
Yeah.
Well, so that's like without a tie. Like, sleeves rolled up.
give her the opportunity to graze at your package accidentally.
See? Tight pants.
Sit on her desk. Well, the thing is...
Excuse me?
No, I'm making this up. Okay. I'm trying to do it. Like, if, say you're sitting in a chair at your own desk and you lean down into your filing cabinet to get something,
mm-hmm.
take the opportunity now to jump up and sit on the desk so when she looks up...
We'd be the worst men ever. Thank goodness we are not men. We wouldn't have a job. We'd probably have a status next to our name.
Do anything that'll make things more awkward.
So is this kind of the male equivalent of like bending down to pick up a pen that you've been like, yeah. Oh, I dropped a pen.
Yeah.
That's a difficult one. Gentlemen, we'd like to know, how do you show it off?
Yeah. How do you show it off discreetly?
At the office.
Yeah.
You know.
If indeed there's sexual tension between both of you, anything that increases awkwardness will definitely increase sexual tension.
Really?
I don't think so. It makes things worse.
Yeah, I think. I guess it depends. What do I know?
You want to get away. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, don't make it awkward. Yeah. You're supposed to be making it sexy.
Okay. Intense goodbyes. Whenever you're about to say goodbye, make her feel like you don't want to say goodbye at all. Do this when there are others around, though. Sexual tension should always... Oh, don't do this when others are around.
I was going to say. Because you'd have a... I'm just imagining, like, it's like everyone in the office is there, and then you guys are just having, like, an extra long goodbye, and then someone is going to be like, awkward.
Yeah. You're, like, staring into her eyes.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
You've clasped hands for a bit too long.
Yeah. All right, so don't do this when others are around. Sexual tension should always be a well-kept secret.
Well, oh, man. Good luck in that office. Good luck. Everybody, you know what? If nobody else knows, the receptionist knows. I've been a receptionist. Have you ever been a receptionist?
No.
I was a receptionist in an office where everybody was young, and I was like, the moment anything happened, I was like, post-it note. Drop that down so I can tell my friend later about what happened. It's just, you see every little glance, you know.
Everything, the body language, all the stuff you can't hide.
Because when you're the receptionist, it's like, you don't exist. Mm-hmm. So people are just doing wild shit, and you're like, yo, we're in the lobby.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm still here.
And you're building sexual tension.
Yeah.
The flirty way.
In front of me. While I'm trying to answer phones with a Janet Jackson headset.
Yeah. Didn't you read number 7?
Yeah.
Away from
when no one's around, they're like, well, you're no one.
Every time you have to say goodbye to her, hug her, but linger just a second more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Delay the goodbye with some idle talk or stare deeply in her eyes. Like you want to say something, but you're holding the thought back.
So you just stare into her eyes and then break off and go home. Yeah.
Like,
No. Yeah.
I'll take the sexual tension to an... It will take the sexual tension to an all-new high. Number 8, overdo the gestures. Hold her hands when you have the opportunity, but almost clasp it by slightly...
When does that happen? When do you have the opportunity to hold somebody's hand?
But slightly interlace your fingers with hers.
No. Don't do that.
Never interlace your fingers with anyone.
When we were in middle school, it was a thing that guys would try to rub their finger on your palm.
Right, or on your wrist. You shake the hand and, the palm or the wrist.
They would try. And I'm like, what's going on here? I felt violated.
Yeah, because it's like, because nobody could see what they were doing. Yeah. It's like, you, hey, you.
Yeah, it was. I don't know.
It was always a creepy thing.
It's not good. It's like camp counselor thumb. No, thank you.
Camp counselor thumb.
Moving on.
Okay. Kiss her on the cheek while saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
At work?
I mean, I guess.
But almost kiss her lips. Uh-huh. Place your hand on the back while crossing the street, but almost near her butt. Whisper in her ears when you say something quietly, but let your lips graze her ears.
I hope she likes you.
You get what I mean, don't you? Use regular gestures and turn them into super sexual tension builders.
Mm-hmm. How long is this going to go on for?
Well, now back away when it's coming out in the open. Sexual tension gets stronger when it's kept a secret, even between you and your friend. Both of you may know it and feel the sexual tension, but it's all good as long as it's kept secret.
Which you cannot do.
Yeah.
See, this author is missing the main point, is that everybody knows when there's sexual tension. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's around.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're human.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you can tell when people are happy. You mm-hmm. can tell when people are upset. You can tell when there's tension.
Yeah.
So, like, unless you're doing this, like, in a, you know, enclosed space where there's no one else around, somebody's going to see you. I'm telling you, the receptionist already told everybody.
Yeah. Right.
it's out in the open.
Unless you do want to get the sexual tension out in public and do something about it. The
like
longer
what? The lumbata? What's going to happen?
You're going to
register your relationship with HR?
Mm-hmm. Right. Number 10, act on it, but don't overdo it. How far are you willing to take it? Now that you built the sexual tension up, it has to go somewhere. Do you like this girl? Are you terribly sexually attracted to her?
I would hope so, because you put a lot of effort into this.
Yes. You know, if you're
with your tight pants and your weird handshake. Your hand by a crack when you're crossing the street.
She's looking at her filing cabinet. Jump up on the desk.
Yes.
My desk again. If you're going to constantly rouse the sexual tension between you and a friend, the bubble has to burst at some point.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Make out or get out?
Well, see, this is sometimes when it just falls, like you built it up. It's like in a movie.
Yeah.
They build it up, and then you get to the main thing, and you're like, oh, who cares?
Right.
And then don't be like Interstellar.
Then just let it die out. That's it.
Like Interstellar.
Like I just...
Flame out.
Right, flame out.
That's not bad. No,
that's what you have to do. This is the last rule when you decide you don't want to act on it. You have to look right at that person and go, flame out.
It's over.
And then just walk away.
Next. I'm taking this tension elsewhere, B.
Yeah.
All right, so I have one thing here. Greg also sent this. This is like
Greg.
A lot of Greg stuff.
Greg.
Legal ethics. Oxymoron. Lawyer appears in Thomas Jefferson garb to defend law license. Now, first of all, when you think about Thomas Jefferson,
mm-hmm.
I still think of Benjamin Franklin.
I do. I don't even know which one did what. Oh.
He's dressing up as someone that's not really, like, everyone knows Thomas Jefferson by name and by deed,
he's
but how he looks, it's not that, like, his hair wasn't iconic, no. He didn't have anything going. Anyway,
no.
A lawyer wearing a Thomas Jefferson getup appeared before the Kansas Supreme Court on Friday in a quest to retain his law license.
Yep. I stand before you.
This will work. People love Thomas Jefferson, right? Lawyer Ira Dennis Hauer wore a powdered wig, 18th century suit, and long white stockings as he argued that the First Amendment protected his unusual defense of a capital murder client. So his client basically was convicted of killing two women and wounding a third. His argument was, my client could not have done this because as a professional drug dealer, he wouldn't have left the third woman alive. That was his defense. And because of that, the court is saying, we don't think that you're fit to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
You think? He said he dressed as Thomas Jefferson because constitutional rights were at stake. He said that the Sixth Amendment protects the rights of his client and the First Amendment protects his right to defend the client as he sees fit. He was summarily disbarred, I just found out today.
Well,
can you imagine? I mean, I understand a lot of things can happen. I understand going into appeal, mm-hmm. you know, this decision. But he was like, you know what? He went out, he rented a costume. He got into costume. He probably got into character.
Yeah,
and he was
sure
like,
he
this
did.
Is going to work. This is what's going to do it. Like, they thought I was crazy. I'm going to show them by dressing as a beloved historical figure.
Yeah, that I take my job seriously.
Yes, a powdered wig? I think he should have dressed as something a little more dramatic, like a Sith Lord or something. Like,
yeah, okay.
Like you're getting in the costume.
Did he quote him? I hope.
No, he just dressed
like him.
Like
and
him.
Then made an argument for
like
himself.
Like, if he had done kind of like a reenactment.
I would, you know what, he should have had hired some people
to back
be in a scene
up.
With him.
Yeah, to do a scene
yeah.
quickly about it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine when this guy walked in? The judge was probably like, are you...
like no, he should have acted out like a little bit of a case, and he would have made his point, then turn to the judge and say, you see, much like Thomas Jefferson...
Yes. I deserve recognition.
Yeah.
I just think it's so bizarre. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Thomas Jefferson. Why not Ben Franklin? I mean, that's more recognizable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's like Ben Franklin? Someone comes and dresses Ben Franklin. You kind of got to give a pass.
Yeah.
Let them have their say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't imagine that, you know, maybe 100 years from now that someone will show up dressed like George Bush and be like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, what do I know? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't imagine. I can't think of anyone I would dress up as.
Marie Antoinette.
Not the main case.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who could I dress up as that I haven't already dressed up as?
Right? Yes, who haven't you dressed? Listeners, in the Hey You Know It studio, Jaquetta's always in costume.
Oh, I love costume. We do a lot of costume parties. So I'm trying to think of who could I dress. If someone was being like, you know what, you're going to be disbarred as a podcaster, I'm going to dress up as Howard Stern.
Oh,
from
okay.
Private Parts.
Right.
Wear the skin suit.
Right, right.
I'm going to have a statue or something in front of me.
Yeah.
Austin Power style, and I'm just going to proceed as such.
Yeah.
People like, I got to talk. Like the shock jock that I'm pretending to be today. I need to say what I have to say. The official.
All right, this is from one of our listeners, Grace B.
Oh, Grace B in the hizzy.
Yeah, she had sent an email.
Digitally. In the digital hizzy.
Okay, it was... Yeah. Well, she sent this. Grace sends us really great links, and this is one we've been hanging on to. Hello, ladies. I was up. I couldn't sleep.
Okay.
Insomniac. So I web surfed.
I feel you, by the way.
Yeah. And so this is something that she found, and it's from Slate, friend or foe. Okay. Why can't I see my friend without her Rugrats?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. Dear friend or foe, Erica and I have been best friends since I was 15. When she was 20, she got pregnant and had a shotgun wedding.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She's still married to the guy, and now they have 3 children. Erica has a very hectic professional life. They've moved many times, and for years I'd visit on a regular basis. Over time, I began to hate to go to her house more and more because her kids are bratty and obnoxious, as is her husband.
Wow, okay.
And the one person that I actually want to speak to, Erica, is too busy breastfeeding or talking to clients on the phone to pay any attention to me. Half the time, I end up sitting in the driveway waiting for her to come home, so I quit making the trips entirely.
Okay, reasonable.
Yeah, recently we got in a huge argument. She told me I was weird, secretly hated her, and that I didn't want to know her children, and she's done with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the end of that. Thank you. That was Hey You Know It. What more is it to say?
At first, I thought our split might be for the best, but I love and miss her, and I sent her a copy of Beaches to try to make her realize that friendship changes happen over time.
That woman died at the end of Beaches. That's not a good thing. Basically, you're like, you know, I'm waiting for you to die so I can take your kids after your husband leaves you.
I also sent a letter saying that I'm willing to put in more effort, but the changes need to happen on her end, too. She needs to pick up the phone when I call and give me at least a little of her time without family around. Every time we try to make plans, she has 900 things she's juggling. If I enjoyed having kids around, I'd have some myself.
I feel you.
Why can't you understand that I want to be her friend and not Aunt Jeannie?
Huh. This is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I have friends who have kids and I don't mess with them. Because I'm not a kid person.
Yeah.
That's it. But I do manage to see my friends without their kids.
Yeah, and they make time for you.
Yeah. Otherwise, forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, so she says, Erica hasn't written back. Should I make another gesture or accept that there's nothing left to this friendship but memories?
I'm going to say party over.
I say party over, too.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Because, I mean, if Erica can't understand that her friend wants to spend some time with her, so it doesn't seem like it's just the kids thing, but she's also doing business and related stuff. It doesn't sound like she really has any time for anybody.
Yeah, she's in a different phase of her life where she's focused on all of that.
But it's weird, too, because I have friends who have, you know, multiple kids, and they really cherish the time that we can spend just us together.
Yeah.
Like, they look forward to that, and sometimes it can even be an excuse to have some time away from their kids. So maybe Erica doesn't actually want to hang out with this woman at all.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it sounds like. Because, yeah, you go ahead and you suck it up with the kids and, you know, try to do it on their schedule, which is fine, and they'll appreciate that.
But kids do go to sleep, by the way.
Yeah. Or, yeah, exactly. You just may not see her very often.
Yeah.
And you'll go to these things. So it sounds like the friendship is over. If she doesn't want it. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, friendships just end for 10 years.
Yeah, they just phase out.
Yeah. And then suddenly you become friends again. Like, oh.
But this Erica person might find themselves in a bad spot later if they're treating everybody like this.
Right.
If there's really no... Although we don't know that there's, you know, no time for that. I don't know. I don't have any kids. But my friends who do have kids seem to like to mix it up.
Yes.
Like, they like to spend time with people who have kids, but they also like to spend time with people without their kids around as well, because they're still human beings.
Right. Yeah. Know? And everybody has to adjust to each other's lives.
Yeah.
So you adjust to their kids on occasion, and she adjusts to, hey, you know, you still want to spend some time alone on occasion.
On occasion.
You know, can't be all the time either way.
Yeah,
so, Yeah, and just know, so, yeah, I think that this friendship is over, though. I think Erica is, like...
Doesn't have time for it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially because, I mean, we're thinking that because she wrote her basically, like, some hate mail.
Yeah.
and that was the clue right. for me.
Okay, so the advice is, there's no easy answer here. Yes, there is. We just gave it.
Did you not, you know what, roll tape?
But I'm afraid the burden falls on you. Erica has 3 small children. No one's asking you to love them like your own, but there's no way you're going to be able to resuscitate this friendship without embracing her family.
That's not true.
That's exactly.
I have some friends who I never see their families. Right. And that's fine. That's not what our relationship is about.
Right. And it's not even like there's anything wrong with their family.
No, I just don't see them.
Yeah.
When would I see them? We get together and we do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I had a bunch of friends together like a couple months ago for a pole dancing party. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Kids were not really coming to that.
Yeah. If it seems like Erica doesn't carve enough time for you, it's probably because between her kids and career, she doesn't have time to carve. So the question becomes whether the friendship is valuable enough to you to make adjustments to both your expectations and attitude, which frankly is pretty bad.
I don't know. I don't think her attitude. And it sounds like her kids are not well behaved,
yeah.
which is an issue as well. Like, none of my friends' kids have bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have one friend who has 3 kids, and they've been over to our apartment, and the kids are lovely.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some other friends who have 1 kid, and the kid's a fucking nightmare. So it's like, you know, you've got to be realistic.
Right, right, right. And also, remember, Erica had a shotgun wedding at 20.
Yeah.
So now she's in this relationship with this guy. Maybe they're not a great match, but she still had more kids with him.
Maybe she's just trying to, like, make everything work.
Is saying, all right, I'm committed to this marriage, and we're going to make a family.
We're going to have a huge family.
Yeah. And now she's got, and then the husband's like, well, you wanted all these kids, so you better get to work.
Yeah. Or maybe she's working really hard so she can get get out of there.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You know, maybe the husband realizes that... this chick is hip to his game.
Yeah. I would just say to this woman, maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Especially after that piece of that hate mail. I'd be like, you know what? F you, B.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah. It says here, I don't see why you can't treat the pockets of grown-up fun amid the pandemonium. Find out what time the small fries will watch the Wonder Pets. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Bring over a bottle of wine, and while Ming Ming, the duckling, saves baby turtle, pour a few glasses in the kitchen. I have small children myself, and in some ways I actually have easier friendships with my non-mom friends.
Hmm. I think it's all different to, you know, how people treat their kids. Because when we were kids, mm-hmm. and you know, where I'm from, maybe where you're from too, they were like, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Adults are talking.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cared.
Right.
And it wasn't always about sit down in front of the TV. It was like, be quiet, find something to do, leave us alone.
Yeah. It's about boundaries and saying, hey, this is, and structure. This is what's going on.
But I don't know if that's still in play nowadays for everybody.
Right. But I don't think Erica really has it together with her family. I think she's in a marriage.
The shotgun wedding.
I think she's in an unhappy marriage, and she's trying, and she never knew how to
handle it. Maybe she doesn't want anybody around who might blow her cover.
Right. And so, I think that it's over. But maybe in 10 years, you guys can find each other.
Maybe.
Again. But if not,
I would take the hate mail and try to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
We're here until 9 o'clock. Who are those people? We have the space on 9 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they coming back in? We haven't had a walk-in in some time.
Yeah.
In the, studio.
Somebody just walked into our studio and looked at us like we're not supposed to be here.
Yeah, when we are supposed to be here and they're not supposed to be here.
She interrupted us. Didn't even knock.
Yeah, but it's nice that she didn't even say sorry.
Yeah.
That's always good, too. All right, so we have time for like maybe one more thing.
Okay,
have to pee.
Sure.